Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Time to chat a little Big Ten football. We'll do so for a man that once played in the Big Ten, won a national championship with the Ohio State University. Now does a great job for the Big Ten Network. That's Joshua Perry here with us on the show. Josh, thanks for the time. How you been?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So Indiana has been a tremendous story. They go up against Ohio State. I know everyone already has Ohio State, not even penciled in, but the ink is probably drying for them getting into the college football playoff. Do we have a game this upcoming Saturday, or is Ohio State, led by Justin Fields, going to blow out Indiana?
Listen, I live in Columbus still, and I'm talking to people around town, and they're like, "Oh man, this game's not going to be close. It's not going to be close. Indiana hasn't played anybody, and all this stuff." And when the game is over, it very well may not be close. Like, it could be that 21-point spread that they're talking about. But I flip on the tape, and I watch Indiana, and they can do some things that will challenge Ohio State. Offensively, Indiana's got really good wide receivers. Watt Fillier's a guy who I think is one of the best receivers in the Big Ten. Ty Freifogel has come out of his shell and shown that he can be a big stat guy out there. They've got Peyton Hendershot playing the tight end position. And Michael Penix is a confident quarterback. Flip that over to Ohio State, and they've struggled a little bit in the secondary. Guys have been tested. I mean, even Sean Wade, who's very highly thought of as a defensive back, has been tested this year. So I think just from that matchup, it'll be something to look at. And then Indiana's defensive front, the front seven specifically, I think they've done a really good job this year. They're, I think, the only team in the Big Ten that's top five in tackles for a loss, top five in sacks, and top five in run defense. And that just speaks to the mentality of the team. Tom Allen obviously being a defensive guy, but they go out there and they execute. They bring pressure from different places. They use different fronts, and they like to get those guys in situations where they can go out there and ball. So for three quarters, this game could look a little bit messy. It might be one of those where Ohio State does end up winning by three touchdowns. But if you watch the entirety of the game, it might look a little bit ugly for the Buckeyes. So I think it's going to be a great one. I truly do believe Indiana deserves to be in the top 10. But at the same time, I think Ohio State's got too much firepower for anybody to keep up with four quarters.
I know Notre Dame defeated Clemson, but let's be real. The three teams that are talked about all throughout the year so far has been Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State. Is there a separation with Alabama and Clemson to Ohio State, or do you kind of just group all three teams together?
No, I think all three teams kind of go together. And I think this year has been really hard to judge, and that's going to be the difficulty for the playoff committee toward the end of the year here. But it's been really hard to judge. Like, you look at Ohio State's schedule, and I think, teams out of the teams that they've played, two wins total for the opposition so far this year. You look at Clemson, and it's not the same story, but it's probably a similar story outside of that Notre Dame game where they didn't even have Trevor Lawrence. Like, what has been the marquee game on their schedule? We thought Miami was going to be a game, and Miami, in my mind, I don't think they're as good as people have them ranked. I mean, who are you going to rank at this point? And so I kind of look at that, and then Alabama, I think they deserve to be in that number one spot solidly. I think they performed really, really well. Mac Jones is a guy who's getting that Heisman talk, and he definitely deserves it. And Saban teams are always well coached. They always play well at the end of the year too, which is what championship teams do. But those three teams are the ones I have my eye on. Notre Dame definitely deserves to be in the conversation, but I also take their victory with a grain of salt. DJ Uiagalelei is a really good quarterback. He's not Trevor Lawrence. And so when you play a team and they don't have potentially the best player in America, it's really hard for me to take it at face value. But You know, that's why we play the games, and that's why we wait until championship weekend, and then, you know, they make the draw for the playoffs.
When you mentioned Trevor Lawrence, as we're talking to Joshua Perry right now on the show, you know, he's one of the more hyped and touted prospects since Peyton Manning, since Andrew Luck. You know, those are the other two names people mention when they bring up Trevor. I don't want to say people forget about Justin Fields because he's right in the Heisman conversation. He's going to be the second quarterback selected in the draft. Do you get that feel a little bit, you being the Ohio State guy, that some sleep on Justin Fields, on what he could be at the next level, even though he's going to be the second quarterback taken in a top five pick? Like, what do you think, his ceiling is in the NFL?
You know, I think early on this year that was definitely the case, and it was because he wasn't playing. And Trevor was playing so well so early that, you know, it would have taken Justin doing what he's doing right now for him to be back in that conversation. I mean, you look at the completion percentage between both of those guys, you know, Trevor Lawrence is in the high 70s, damn near 80%, and Justin Fields is over that 80% mark, and both of those numbers are really unheard of metrics in terms of accuracy for a quarterback. I think that's what both of them do well. But Trevor had all that time for, you know, 6 to 7 weeks or whatever it was to do that, and everybody was watching him, and nobody was watching Justin because they couldn't. That now that Justin Fields is back and he's played the way that he has, I think that conversation is definitely swinging to Trevor's probably the number one guy. I think he has the, you know, the build. I think he has kind of the skill set. You know, he's a true passer, but he can definitely move around. But I think now just people are starting to see the fact that Justin Fields can definitely be a passer too. And I think it's very intentional that he hasn't run the ball very much this year to show that he can be the guy who can sit back and he can wait for the play to develop and make the right read and take care of the football and make all the big throws that he's been making. So, I mean, it's really good quarterback play. I think it's so hard watching college games at times because some of the quarterback play just isn't that great. But when you look at the high level right now of quarterbacks, and, you know, outside of Fields and Lawrence, you've got Trask and you've got Mac Jones, like you talked about, and a few other guys around college football just doing a really good job right now.
Talking to Joshua Perry, Wisconsin at Northwestern this weekend. Wisconsin get upset, or you roll with the home team in Northwestern?
You know, I love the matchup. I really do. I think this is going to be a wonderful game. Going through my game notes earlier today, I think Wisconsin's good, but I just don't know how good they are because they played two games, and they played a couple of dogs in Illinois who struggled, in Michigan who struggled. They blew both of them out, right? So you know they're good, but how are they going to respond when they get the big test? And I think Northwestern has been battle-tested this year because they've won close games, and I think that's what they're going to do. Offense is not super explosive. They don't have to be because they have an elite defense, like the number one statistical defense in the country, and they'll be able to rely on that. Wisconsin's built different this year. They've got Graham Mertz, who's a really good passer, and they've got some skill. But they're not going to be that you know, pounded-out type team that we've seen them do before. Control the clock. That's just not their game plan. And I think that plays to Northwestern's advantage a little bit because Northwestern can try to steal some possessions. And we saw last week when they played Purdue, they went for it on fourth down a couple of times and converted. I think that's got to be a part of their game plan this week. I don't know if Northwestern pulls it off, but I think it's going to be a super close game. I think it's pretty evenly matched. And I think both of those teams are pretty daggone good.
Pat Fitzgerald, he turned down an opportunity to interview for the Green Bay Packers when Matt LaFleur eventually got the job. He's been at Northwestern as the head coach since 2006. We know that's his school. We know he was there a bunch of years prior on the staff. Do you get any feeling he maybe want to put his toe in an NFL water in this offseason or maybe go take another big-time college football job with the possibility of Michigan opening up?
I think if he was going to make the move, last year would have been the year. I mean, it was such a down year for them. And this was the other thing, too. It wasn't that they played poorly, but there was a little bit of turmoil within his staff. And Fitz is a very loyal guy. He's loyal to his assistants. He's very loyal to his players. And I think he had a really hard time making changes on his staff. And it was something he had to do. So there was a time for him to just dip and kind of say, hey, you know, I've spent my time. You would think it was last year because this year they're playing so well. And, you know, they win this game over the weekend. He's going to be back up there in Big Ten championship game probably. And, you know, I don't know if you want to necessarily leave on that. But probably fielding offers and they're probably enticing. Like Michigan would be an enticing opportunity for him. He's done way better with less. You know, a school that has some academic overlays in a school that, you know, doesn't have as much money, frankly, running through it as Michigan does. You feel like he could do a pretty good job there and really challenge, but I don't know. He seems to be just Northwestern through and through, and I understand that completely. So it'd be interesting to see if he would make a change.
Last week, I got myself in some trouble with the Ohio State fans and also just people on the Cleveland local radio station because I said I would love for Michigan. I said it would never happen, but I would love for Michigan to at least place a phone call to Urban Meyer. We know Urban would reject it, but that would be radio gold if Urban Meyer ended up coaching the Michigan Wolverines.
Absolutely. I mean, we sit here in media and we're a drama and controversy business, you know, like that is the drama that we would love. Now, for me as a former player, a guy who played for Urban, you know, I'd be side-eyeing him a little bit like, man, how could you do that? But at the same time, Urban's a guy at this point who's chasing legacy. He's a guy at this point, you know, hey, if you could go out there and somebody's willing to pay you $10 million a year to do something that you love, why wouldn't you at least consider the opportunity? I mean, you watch him on Big Noon, and he can't even say the word Michigan. He says the Wolverines. So it would be a really big pivot for him to go from not being able to say Michigan to being the head coach of that university. But, it, I mean, it's great for conversation for sure. We talk about the Texas job with him, too. It's got Buckeye fans real tight. People in Columbus don't like that conversation.
You think he will coach again, though, right?
It's tough. I've spoken to him. He seems really content. I think he's at that point. It's got to be the right opportunity, and it's got to be for, the right dollar amount. So what I say by the right opportunity, he's got to have Mickey Moradi with him. He's got to be able to bring Mark Pantone, pick anybody he wants on his staff. You know, like they give him full control over how much he pays his assistants, full control over, you know, any modifications he wants to make to facilities, locker room, whatever. I mean, literally, he's going to want to have all that. And it's got to be a place where he feels like he could win a national championship. I don't think he's going anywhere in a situation where he feels like, he can't win the championship. He's in for a build. And I think Urban's done a great job over his career as being a guy who can build a program. The opportunity to build it has to be there.
There were some rumors last offseason about possibly going to the NFL with the Cowboys. That never came to fruition, never even got an interview. Could you see him as an NFL head coach?
Absolutely not, and it's the control thing. And I thought the Cowboys was always mysterious because Jerry Jones is as front and center as any owner in the league, and he likes to have control, and he wants to make the personnel decisions, and he wants to do the post-game interview. And I never thought that would be a fit for Urban with his personality, but I think he would struggle in terms of, you can't treat a seven-year vet the same way you treat a sophomore in college. It's not to say that he mistreats anybody. It's just to say it's a different game you're playing in managing personalities. And I think that's one thing about a college locker room is there are definitely some personalities, but guys are way more humble and they're way more willing to just to do what the coach says. When you're dealing with a seven-year vet, he's going to look at coach and be like, I don't want to do that, so I'm not doing it. I just don't think that's the situation he wants to be in.
Joshua Perry, does Michigan need to move on or does Harbaugh need to move on for Michigan? Do they need to split at the end of this season?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think that they need to do something. I don't think the defense is working for them right now. I'm surprised that the offense looks the way that it does. And whether that's just some soul searching they have to do as a program, whether that's getting the players and the coaches on the same page, I have no idea what it is. But I go out there and watch these games, and I see a defense where guys aren't fighting to get off a box, guys aren't fighting to make tackles, guys aren't playing with passion. I watched one play. It looked like they were trying to let Wisconsin score. It was so bad. And that's not what you're used to seeing. Like we played against Michigan teams that played hard. I've watched Michigan teams recently that have played really, really hard, played well on defense. I'm thinking about 2016 in the Shoe. Like, that was a battle. And those guys were really good defensively. And then I look at the offense, and I think probably one of the biggest indictments on Jim Harbaugh right now is the quarterback play during his tenure.
No
and it
doubt.
Was always a situation where it was like, well, the next guy is going to be better. The next guy is going to be better. And now we're on, like, you know, three next guys, and none of them have been good. And the one that really got me was when Joe Milton threw the ball right to the linebacker for Wisconsin. I feel like that right there is something that should never happen when you're supposed to be a quarterback whisperer and a guru. And so I really do think there's some soul searching. Whether they need to have a breakup, I have no idea. But what they're doing right now ain't working.
And Penn State stinks, too. How about Penn State? Yeah. So disappointing.
Yeah, but...
Well, actually, I don't think it's actually disappointing because I'm a Temple fan, so I enjoy seeing Penn State go through a run like this.
But here's the situation for me. I think Michigan's struggles are more indicative of where they're headed as a program.
Agreed.
Than Penn State's struggles. I think Penn State right now is just a down year. They got to sort some things out.
The Indiana game messed them up. I really do believe that. I don't think they ever recover from that.
And then you back it up with Ohio State. It was a bad situation from the jump this year.
Well, Joshua Perry, great stuff. Keep up the good work with the Big Ten Network, and we'll talk to you down the road. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.